Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion. Let's praise Him every Sunday morning at 5 with Ayanda Nenemba for prayer, intercession, testimonies, worship, and the Word. Let's praise Him with Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
We are back, my family. The conversation is absolutely hot and lightning, and it is challenging, I must say. In solidarity with my brothers who at this point should be absolutely challenged by what we are learning. And of course, you know, we do not exclude the social learning that women and young girls should take out of this lesson. This is not a calling out of young men, you know, and fathers, but it's also a lesson for young girls. It is a lesson for mothers. It is a lesson for women, for us to understand what exactly is expected from men, because there's toxic cultures, Data. And thank you for standing by on the line. There's toxic cultures, you know, of indoda must. And all sorts of really weird things that have come out of this generation, where now our sons are expected to be fathers, you know, to girls and girlfriends who did not have fathers and whose needs way exceed the expectation and the ability of our sons. And yet, you know, for a man and for a father, the responsibility stands for them to be able to provide, for them to be able to provide not just for their immediate household, but for their fathers and everyone around them, really.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You must remember that, that's a whole nother teaching, but if you study the life of Paul, who as Gentiles, and he was a teacher to the Gentiles, he always taught us that our lives must be lives of abundance and generosity. And some of the apostles were actually very stringent on this. John and James would tell you, if you have a shirt, maybe two shirts, and you say to your brother who's feeling cold, I greet you and the Lord bless you, and you walk away with a whole suitcase of clothes without taking care and giving you, even if it's one shirt. That is another teaching, but it's part of our Christian character. Let's quickly take, I want us to just take one small second point,
yes,
and then we have a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I just wondered also, as we base our teaching on the Bible, you remember that Abraham was traveling with his nephew Lot, who was in some way the rebellious student, Abraham. Then Lot gets attacked and captured, and then let's see what Abraham did about this. In Genesis 14 and chapter 40, verse 14, it says, when Abraham heard that his nephew Lot had been captured, he armed and led out his chained men, born in his own house, numbering 318, and went in pursuit as far north as Dan. So Abraham gets news that Lot, his nephew, has been taken by Sam. He calls the men who have been developed upon the household of Abraham, trained and cultivated by Abraham. There were 318 of them. And he led them in pursuit of the people who had attacked Lot. And he caught them and regained Lot and his assets. 318. Now, the father and grandfather not only teaches about material wealth, but teaches a godly decision-making system, a system of moral stability. Moral stability is about knowing how to choose between right and wrong so that you will be a good man or a good woman. Mm-hmm. After people review the pattern of your decision over time.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the people who knew me back in the 80s, and who know me now, and they look at the past 40 years of my life, they say, no, Sandile is a good man. And they look at all the decisions that I've been making over time, and in totality, so now we can conclude that his decision-making is morally sound. That goodness and morality is taught first and foremost by the Father. The Bible says the following in Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness to his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous for whom it is laid up. Now, the word moral, morality, actually, in the Cambridge Dictionary says a set of personal or social standards for good or bad behavior and character. So, your descendants, your children, it says that a good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness to his children's children. In other words, you are not training one generation. You are training this generation and their children in moral stability and goodness.
Sure.
Now, my last scripture. God wants us to teach our children to live the king life on earth. We must have kingdom, heavenly, and good moral decision-making principles that guide every aspect of our lives so that we may live in heaven on earth. Now, are you still there?
Yes, we are with you, Dada Smamele. Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, now, then it continues, my last scripture for you.
Yes, Dad.
Psalm 112, verse 1 to 3. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commandments, in his command. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their house, and their righteousness endures forever. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his command. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright, in other words, the descendant of the upright, will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, their righteousness endures forever. So when our children and their children and their children's children learn these principles of godly morality and we teach them and we demonstrate them, the Bible says our children will be mighty in the land, and their children will be blessed, going further and further down, and wealth and riches will be in our houses, and our righteousness will endure forever. Let me stop there for today, and then we can discuss.
Sure, Dada, that's... I don't want to say it's a tall order because it's the Word of God, and it shouldn't be a tall order, but that is... That is serious. That is serious, serious stuff. I imagine that that in order for all of, I mean, for an environment of teaching and skills transfer, so to speak, an environment of impartation, there's got to be some kind of structure in place, right?
The structure is actually, first of all, there is the actual spiritual structure.
Yes,
right?
Dad, yes.
Which is why I use that prayer of, that method of prayer, or pattern of prayer Jesus taught us. Our Heavenly Father, right? So, meaning that at the top of it, the Bible says all fatherhood derives this title from God the Father. So at the top, is the father of everything. Is the father of all beings. Right? And then, in you, you as a man now, we for now we're discussing about the father, the role of the women and the mothers. We're not discussing that. I don't want to confuse the issue.
Yes,
Dad. Then you will have the male man who now must, in order to realize his manhood, must accept Christ and have the fullness of Christ-likeness in him. Then that is the order. And then you have the teacher who is the Holy Spirit. Because when I teach now, as I'm teaching now, I need to be guided into truth by the Holy Spirit. Right? Yeah? And you need, who is the one who's listening, need his or her eyes opened, the eyes of understanding, be illumined and opened
by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah.
Right? So we are not even treating the body. We're not doing rollback here or push up. We are teaching the spirit and the mind. We are dealing with the software of a human being. We are dealing with the operating system, the software that governs everything, before we even come to our body master.
Come on, Dad. Amen.
Okay? So, as I said before, we know no man after the flesh, not even Christ. So our knowledge of people, our knowledge of everything, in fact, is first and foremost spiritual. So when we approach the concrete world, we must have answered questions in the spirit. And our direction must have come in the spirit. And these words of God, they are spirit and they are life. And the syllabus of life, in all you are getting, get wisdom. And the wisdom that a man can get or a woman can get is the wisdom of God, which is the word of God. This is the wisdom. This word of God is the wisdom of God. And when you speak wisdom, you're actually speaking the instructions and the revelation that come from the word of God. If you are talking about structure in terms of syllabus, the syllabus is the Bible. In terms of authority, living life and physical entities, if you like, your father is there, the man is there. But in that man, there must be Christ. In that man, there must be the Holy Spirit. In that man, there must be God the Father. All of them guiding him into the fullness of manhood and fatherhood.
In families where that structure does not exist, or at least let me put it this way, that where there's just the mom, and okanye manditi mhlambe in child headed, and I'm stretching it, I know I'm stretching it unnecessarily thin, but it's important because, you know, I want to cover all bases so that ungabikho umuntu uzoba ne excuse. In the case then where the mom is the head of the home, they're a single parent, or the home doesn't actually have parents, how would that leadership role take shape? Who should then assume that leadership role?
I think that the architectures now, I will first of all preach as if I am preaching in Africa among Africans.
Yes, that.
And there's a reason for this, because we've experienced that. So what actually is happening here is that the first thing that was going on and is still going on, and that is the embracing of how we embrace children. There's what you say, there is no child without a home.
Yes, Dad.
So for instance, my sister, let's put it like that, who may not have even been married, who have children. Our job as brothers to that woman is to make sure that any other that they have children who have needed from your father, we make sure that it is there.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Omalume.
Omalume. But now there's a difference, especially in the Xhosa culture. Right? Because when my sister is not married, in the Xhosa culture, and that applies across a number of places here in South Africa.
Yes.
The child of my sister, who is not married, is a full swana like my child.
No, absolutely. Right? I'm a
married man. So that one, although they might call me Malume, actually, they are my child. Right? They become my child. They are as good a swana as any other. And that is the approach. The second approach is that if you are a grandfather, you need to be making sure that all of your children, your descendants, because not all of your children are going to be covered in the same way.
Yes.
Some of them are going to be more vulnerable than others.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, when we stayed in my grandfather's house, I cannot tell you how many we were, but we're all protected. We're staying there. And we're not all immediate siblings or anything. It was a conglomeration. Some were people who came from the clan, the Manu clan where we come from. Some were from his younger brothers. Some were from all over.
But it was home for all of you, Dad.
School, others had to go over there, over there. So some of the intellectuals have made a point that we are actually destroying ourselves by destroying the extended family in the African community.
So,
in my own house, my own family members know that if their children were battling with education, battling with youth problems, this, that, they are brought here to me. And I know that it is part of my job of fathering these kids and making sure they develop, right? So for politicians who don't know what to do with their lives, they want to be the malumes of these children. And the state wants to do this, as opposed to a system that says, can we rather strengthen the households and strengthen the families so that they can play their role, as opposed to creating pockets of future rebellion of children who are living under no authority of any kind. And when you read the scriptures, some of the scriptures that I read there, which said that anyone who does not care of his own family, so I have no right to boast about anything if I leave members of the Swana family or even my wife's family in destitution. I need to be there, and I need to teach my children that, guys, you need to take care of your relatives. On and so forth. So we need to be asking ourselves, are we going to take our guidance from the papers that government writes and the policies they produce, or are we still guided by the Bible?
Wow. So basically, if I'm hearing you correctly, there is no, I mean, within the African continent, well, I mean, it's not even within the African context. I guess within the continental context, that technically there's no child without a father. Technically, because as long as you have an uncle, no matter how distant that uncle is, that uncle ought to understand that they have a responsibility over the children in that family whose fathers, for whatever reason, who are not present.
You can read about Boaz and Ruth. What happened there?
Hey, Dada, yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah, born again, go. Yeah, no. Mm-mm. No. Ivagele gakhle.
Let's be blunt about it. Why do you go and buy a 4 million rand Bentley or Ferrari or whatever when in your own lineage of blood there are people who can't get an education and a meal every day?
Umureki kaloku tata, xa ungumureki fanele wenze lento ifunwa nguwe.
Right? So that is why we need to create a platform inside the people from a young age of moral stability. Morals must be there. So anything that you approach, there must be morals that guide you. I cannot be a better Sandile Swana by buying a Rolls Royce. It can't improve.
It can't give you what you don't have, Dada. If I'm not, I'm not.
No.
If right? Morally so, there is
so
a corruption.
I need to know what my mandate is. I need to know what my duties are, what my scope of duties are. And not run helter-skelter, taking resources and using them potentially outside the proper mandate of God. Right? And I'm not saying that people cannot reach a stage where they afford that vehicle. But the Bible says, he who does not take care of his own relatives has denied the faith.
Hi, Dada. No, kuvakele in that sense, because I guess then it answers my second question. But let me ask my second question, even though we don't have a lot of time. Perhaps we'll finish off the second question next week. But on the understanding then that there's not a single child without a father, because there's extended members of the family. This then means the structure technically should always be in place, okay? And if the structure is not in place for whatever reason, or the child doesn't have access to those fathers who are supposed to be fathering them, then what we are then... Okay, maybe let me just get straight to the question. Where I want to go to that is to say, what then happens Yeah, Gonda. What do we do with the excuse that says, I can't be this provider because actually I don't have? And the reason why I think maybe, the more I think about it, the more I think, maybe let's leave it for next week, because hey, there's so many branches that we need to deal with this question, you know, including what you've just alluded to about the government wanting to be umalume wabantu when...
Let me give you a short answer. We will deal with this issue next week. Maybe I need to prepare my teaching for that next week.
Yes, Dad.
But let me give you an actual history lesson on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
When you study church history, there's a fellow called John Wesley who many associate with the emergence of the Methodist Church.
Yes, Dad.
When John Wesley started preaching, and he was an Anglican preacher, by the way,
mm-hmm.
He was an ordained minister, active in the... So these things were extracurricular activities, the Methodist activities, mm-hmm. extracurricular activities for mm-hmm. him. But when John Wesley started teaching aggressively in society,
mm-hmm.
there was drunkenness, there was the neglect of families, there were sicknesses, industrial sicknesses and injuries in industry. All sorts of slavery was there. But because of the gospel, the Methodist Church was attracting poor people.
Hmm.
But when they started following the teachings of John Wesley and the Bible, they became wealthy.
Hmm.
So there are things that you do in your ungodliness. Or and other things. And when I say ungodliness, I'm not saying they're doing dirty things. But you're not tapping into the wisdom of God relative to things of productivity and various ways of approaching the market to make sure that you are actually progressive. Sometimes the amount of income that you drink, as an example, alcohol, how much goes into alcohol? Some of the people who say they are short of money, they are never lacking drunkenness at other times. And so many, many other things that John Wesley said.
Hmm.
Sometimes just by staying home, and rather than going to the city, staying home and growing vegetables and doing other things in the yard, first of all, you are saving money. Secondly, you are improving the quality of life in your home,
etc.,
etc., etc. And you are not even surrounding yourself with people who are productive and making money, because you are part of that movement that is actually going into destruction. I believe that the gospel, properly taught, changes lives and changes even the economic standing of a people.
100%.
And there's history to prove that.
Sure, Dad. No, that's wow. So my family, you know, I'm glad, you know, that we've allowed this conversation to this point, because it gives us such a rich tapestry of foundation to continue to build on next week, that when we are live and when the family can actively engage in this conversation. So I just want to thank you so much. And today, Dada Kuba, it's actually the last Sunday of April. Ndicela dadewethu, if you can just maybe say a prayer, you know, for aba dada, hey, maske sibathandazele, sibacenge, simcenge uba ungwabo.
Yes, let us pray.
Mm.
Heavenly Father, we pray for a revival of the spirit of fatherhood in South Africa as a whole. That every man will look at the offspring of their lineage.
Mm.
All the vulnerable people in their household and around them, and start providing a proper cover.
Yes, Lord.
Let us not say, no, there's a government, there's a welfare district, there's this, there's that. Have your own initiative that is medium to long term to transform lives with a fathering spirit, and trust God to empower you and give you grace and multiply and bless your efforts in the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen, Dad. Amen. No, the Lord bless you so much, Dad. I'm asigcinele wena. Akusikelele, akuthamsanqelekise. I always get that wrong. We truly appreciate the time that you spend with us, Dad. Bless you.
You're most welcome. Thank you. Bye.
Dr. Sandile Swana, my family, we are certainly back with that conversation next week. It's Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Faith, hope and love. Experience victory in your life on 657 AM.
Become active, active in faith. 657 AM.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion through thick and thin. Download our mobile app or visit radiopulpit.co.za to listen to your favorite station 24 hours a day.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. True, authentic Christian radio.
What a time, what a time, what a time, my family, to be alive. What a time. Good morning and welcome to it. It's Radio Pulpit this morning. You are at 657 AM and it is indeed Let's Praise Him with myself, Ayanda. What a way to kickstart our second and final hour of our time together. Bazalwane, you know, enhlizweni yam ansafuni kubase kumlilo wentsindiso, you know, masiliphathe kahle ivangeli ngoba imvuselelo ifikile. You know, our duty, I want to believe with all my heart that in this month, I think I keep saying this, you know, in this month, the Lord is calling for those who are able to witness. UThixo ufuna umuntu onomlomo oza witness, you know, angqine ngoYesu Kristu ophilayo empilweni yakhe. UThixo, I want to believe with all my heart, is allowing us, my family, to be a display of his salvation. And so this morning, without a lot of things said, here's Charles Spurgeon's story of conversion many, many, many years ago. And this is to trigger in somebody who has been struggling to come back to God, to repent, who has been struggling, you know, to allow the love of God to work in their lives, you know, so that you can be restored back to your first love. Here's the story to trigger you in case you've never been given that opportunity to receive and to invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your life as personal Lord and Savior. Asekwisikhathi, you know, Barcelona. There's no time. This thing of thinking we don't have time, you know. And so my heart cries out, as does the heart of the church, as does the heart of your God through Jesus Christ this morning, calling you, saying, son, come to me. Now is the time for salvation. My daughter, you've tried it all. Now come to me. Here is the time for salvation. It is my prayer this morning that the Lord will truly find you. My family, on the other side of great worship music, we're also going to be crossing over to an incredible word of encouragement, talking about the love of God and how we ought to open up our hearts and just allow the love of God to work in our lives. It's Radio Pulpit. We are on 0826572729. If you'd like to drop us a WhatsApp or a voice note, we'll get hold of that and we'll probably play it next week. But for today, we're pre-recorded. We're going through renovations, but we love you, my family. And what an honor for you to have made our date as usual this morning. Stay tuned to Radio Pulpit 657 AM.
Phila impilo yakho nathi. Ngena ku radiopulpit.co.za. Umngani wakho imihla ngemihla.
For there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer requests by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.